become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Celebrate. Hello, everyone. Yay. It's Friday. Boom goes the dynamite. There you go. Hey, everyone. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to another edition of ETL Daily. This is episode 7. I am the J-Strom. I am your host, along with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, what's happening?
How's it going, Steven?
Fantastic.
Hello, hello. Also, we have a special guest host, Adam Sexton, who I need to call right now. Let's see if he's here. Hello, Adam. Are you there?
Hello, hello.
Hey, Adam. What's up?
Hey, man. Not much. How about yourself?
Oh, not a lot. Just felt like hitting record and doing a show. You know, it's Friday. I figured I'd see, hey, what's Adam up to? We got to talk to him about these inane news stories this week. You know, the ridiculous film and television stories that you see everywhere, and it starts to drive you insane.
Yeah, I was just content to just sit in the chat room all by myself, but luckily you decided to bother me about it. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
Hey, Adam.
You didn't have to point out you were all by yourself. It sounds really sad. You're the only listener, and it was like, hey, join the show. Picture a live play, and you're the only one in the audience, and they go, hey, you want to join us?
You want a guest star?
Can I just say,
take those opportunities when you can get them.
Right before the show started, I watched the trailer, the leaked trailer to Game of Thrones Season 5. Do you watch Game of Thrones, Adam?
Oh, yeah, big time. I subscribed to HBO when it first came out. That was the primary reason for doing so.
Awesome. I love the show myself. I have never read any of the books, so I'm totally clueless as to what's going to happen. But I have this thing that I was actually – there's a commercial with David Bowie's Heroes, you know. Mm-hmm. We can be heroes. I don't know how many movies it's been in, but
a million.
Most recently in the last Lone Survivor with Donnie Wahlberg. Why am I saying Don? How do I get Mark Wahlberg wrong? Why do I go to Donnie Wahlberg?
Because of the stupid Donnie Loves Jenny and all that stuff.
I guess so. It's very touching, but at the very end, they play like this different version of Heroes.
I think it's Peter Gabriel doing the cover of it,
right? And it is very affecting, but at the same time, I'm like, eh, this has been in too many movies. So as I'm watching Game of Thrones Season 5 trailer, all of a sudden you hear, we can be heroes. I'm like, wait, what? This friggin' fantasy epic has David Bowie music? I'm sorry. Get rid of it. I'm done with that song, okay? I know this is pretty harsh, but put China Girl on there or something. I mean,
I'd go for that.
Just something different. Put Blue Jean. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody Save Me or something. I don't know, but I'm tired of that song. It's just like you can never have Stand By Me in another movie. Am I right?
Right.
If Stand By Me starts up, there's one part that I have a major problem in Clerks 2. I love the movie. It's really funny and stuff. And even the donkey scene, even though it's gross, no problem with that. I have a problem with when they play Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And I'm like, you can't play that in a movie, okay? The last one before that was Spider-Man Was the Spider-Man 2?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, it starts up, raindrop, and I'm like, okay, it's Sam Raimi, I forget it. But then another movie, no! Because that was friggin' in Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and I believe it won an Academy Award. It'd be like putting Under the Sea in a different movie from, Little Mermaid.
Putting it in
I feel like I lost these two.
Under going
the sea. It's like, what the hell is he talking about?
Going from the Little Mermaid to putting it in Splashed with Daryl Hannah.
Okay, think of a song like from, like, the music from Pulp Fiction, you know, the... was it the Miserly? Remember? If that was in a different movie opening titles, you'd go, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? So stop using Heroes by David Bowie. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, or like the scene in Reservoir Dogs, too, you know, when he's going to cut the guy's ear off. You know,
stuck in the middle?
Yeah, you just can't do that again.
Yeah, you can't. You can't have a torch.
It's done to...
Unless it's one of those really bad, like, spoof movies, like, you know, Wayans Brothers or something, and then they spoof the... No.
No.
No. Okay, Adam, this is a direct question to you, sir. Have you seen... Have you seen the new Fantastic Four trailer?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, I need you to go watch it.
Well, fine.
No, because I just watched it, and I'm not sure what I think yet. I think it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look awful. It looks pretty interesting.
The trailer's kind of, I guess it's kind of drawn out, kind of slow paced.
It looks more science fiction type of movie than comic book movie.
But is that good in a sense that it's not giving away too much? I mean, you obviously know the story of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I sat through the bad Roger Corman the other night and watched the
YouTube
whole thing.
Did you really? Oh my god, it does look god awful.
It's terrible.
I know a while back, I don't know if it was a year ago, I saw someone posted that, like, did you know you can watch the Corman Fantastic Four right now? It's like, oh, well, cool. And I put it on for a few minutes ago. Dude, this sucks.
I mean, I had it on. Mind you, I was watching TV at the same time. I'd sit there and watch it.
You were half watching it, yeah. I kind of half watched it for a while, too, and I was like, nah, click. Have you seen any of that, Adam?
I've only seen, like, screenshots or I've heard commentary on it, but I have not made the jump to it.
Reed Richards' stretching effects are awesome, though.
Oh,
all I've seen is the shot, like, don't they get, there's like a marriage ceremony at the end, and then his hand comes out of the limo.
Yeah, it's like 12 feet long, waving. But they're at the wedding, all in the blue and white, outfits, except for Sue Storm, who's in a wedding dress, I believe.
But
the thing has his little Speedo on.
It's like, that's what he wore to a wedding? Is that sanitary? So I'm curious about it. You know, when I read they were, like, casting Michael B. Jordan, as the Human Torch, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, I've always liked that dude, and, from Friday Night Lights, and we'll just wait and see more.
See all the gripe and complaining, about
it's a
that.
Teaser, but, you know, what else are you going to do? Adam, do you want to watch it real quick?
I've actually got it playing on mute right now.
Oh, cool.
It's got a really great look to it.
It does. It looks good. It's isn't the director the guy who did Chronicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chronicle.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it to suck. I just didn't expect a Fantastic Four movie. I remember hearing it announced, but I swear I read that it was being put on hold or something like that, and I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, I watched it earlier this week, too.
You know how we are, Steven. We'll go see it. Yeah, we're going to see
we're
it.
We're movie whores.
Oh, I think maybe in a past show I was kind of a little reluctant about whether or not I'd want to see that. But after looking at the trailer, I may go check this out.
And it's Kate Mara as Sue Storm. She's better than – I mean – when Jessica Alba was cast, it was so weird how, remember, she looked normal in the first Fantastic Four movie, but in the second, they decided to give her contacts and blonde hair, and all of a sudden, she looked like weird. It's like, why didn't you guys do this for the first movie? It doesn't
just
make
leave
any
it, make it match. Yeah.
It's almost like an executive goes, why isn't she blonde? She's supposed to be blonde in the comic. Like, well, we didn't do that in the first movie. Well, you got to do it now. It's like, okay. The best part about those movies was Chris Evans, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He was great as the Human Torch. But, yeah.
Yeah, the Human Torch in the Corman film, spectacular.
Yeah, those blonde locks.
No, I mean the effects.
Effects, yeah. Spectacular! But the Thing looks so weird.
The Thing is the best special effects you've ever seen by comparison to the Human Torch in this movie.
It's clobbering time!
You know who did the special effects for it, don't you?
No.
Optic Nerve. That's right, Glenn Hetrick.
Glenn Hetrick Studios from Face Off? That is awesome.
That's why I had to watch the whole thing, honestly.
Optic Nerve. Nice.
Because it said, you know, special effects by Optic Nerve. I was like, Glenn Hetrick? Oh my gosh. And he's judging people's work on this shit?
It's like, we have something to bring up for you, Glenn. And he's like, it's Fantastic Four. And he's like, no. You told me this would never come up. We're removing you as judge immediately.
I don't know if he owned Optic Nerve then or was part of it.
And also, everyone who's been declared the face-off winner, they have to go back and remove them as winners because Glenn Hetrick, you know, kind of swayed the vote.
Yeah, I just don't know if he was part of Optic Nerve back then, if that's his company that he developed from ground up or whatever, if he worked his way up through it.
Steven, I have a question.
But I'm going to say he did. It was his. That was his responsibility.
Very cool. I mean, I'm going to finish watching it now on YouTube. But I have a question for you, Steven.
Yes, sir.
Have you guys heard anything about the new Ghostbusters this week?
Too much.
all over the place.
But here's an interesting take.
I had two things on it. You know, first of all, they announced one character, but the rest are in talks.
Yeah, we don't even know if it's true, but their pictures are everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, Leslie Jones on Saturday Night Live, I think she's really funny. They actually did a Ghost Hunter episode. Like, it was like a spoof of like a Ghost Hunter show. Did you see that?
No, sir.
You need to watch that on YouTube. She was like the skeptic of the group that didn't believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
And whenever there's like a sound, she goes, oh, hell no. What the hell was that? And then she's a skeptic at first. Then finally they're like, this doll appeared in 1920 after the family disappeared. It is unexplained of how it came to be. And she goes, well, I can explain to you. It's a damn ghost. They're like, you're supposed to be a skeptic. She goes, well, what? It's a ghost. There's no way. And finally she hears another noise and you see her running and she kicks the front door down and runs and locks herself in the van. They're like, come on, open up. She's like, no, hell no. And they're like, come on, we can't get in. So I think she's pretty funny. As soon as I read about this, my main thing was that you guys know how I react to seeing the story repeatedly.
Yeah.
And it takes a certain kind of, I don't know what it is, discipline to not post it on Facebook.
Right.
Or Twitter and go, hey, look, everybody, look at this story. And people who do, I'm like, why? We see it. You don't need to share it with us. And do you watch Ghost Hunters? Is it Ghost Hunters? There's a cute redhead girl named Amy Bruni on there. I read an interview with her where they asked her about, what do you think of the female ghost, all female Ghostbusters? At first I rolled my eyes like, oh, come on. Like, give me a break. It was just kind of silly. But I read the interview and I thought she's a very smart girl. They say, what was your initial reaction when you heard there was going to be an all female Ghostbusters? I definitely thought it was a stunt. Then I thought about it more and realized it was perfect. There was really no way they could fill the shoes of the original cast or recast them with younger actors because they're too iconic. I was like, hey, that's a pretty good answer, right? Would you prefer seeing these women as characters existing in the same universe as the other Ghostbusters or original characters in a fresh reboot? I think that would work. But what is most believable is if the cast is in the modern day and the past team still exists, some crossover of characters would be amazing. And I have, of course, love to see a dedication to Harold Ramis. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, she's making good answers, wouldn't you say? I mean, yeah. it wasn't annoying
so
me
far.
Like, like I thought it would be. But she says, what are you most excited to see? This is where I started to roll my eyes, okay? What are you most excited to see from this new cast? Are you hoping for some paranormal investigative authenticity? And that's what I was like, oh, geez. I think some people would be surprised to know how authentic the original Ghostbusters were. Okay, when it came to ghostly legends and theories, it is also sort of like Star Trek in that some of the things they use actually came into existence later, like the PKE meters in Ghostbusters are our EMF meters. I'd love it if they actually took some of the devices paranormal investigators use today and put them in the movie. Okay,
of course.
Starting to lose me. But anyway, I mean, when she says at first I thought it was a stunt, it kind of seems that way,
yeah.
Doesn't it? And I thought it was funny, you know, Bill and I have talked about this, and he posted, like, you know, I have a problem with Paul Feig. Why can't Edgar Wright? He's just too bland. Why can't Edgar Wright direct this? And then I started to think about, but what if Edgar Wright directed everything? Everything would start to look the same.
Yeah.
And then that would be the new bland, wouldn't it?
Right.
You can't have, I mean, his movies will be unique if he directs his own thing. You know, he's not going to do Ghostbusters, for Pete's sake. You saw
he'd have to let him do his own thing. That's the problem.
I actually think Paul Feig, if you look at Ivan Reitman, what he did with the Ghostbusters, is there like this fancy way it looked or anything? It's just a shot like a comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it does have some really good production design and some,
like the gothic,
you know, really decent special effects considering it's an ensemble comedy, but
yeah, it's got that ILM kind of effects look and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't expect it to look like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it'll be fine.
Well, like you said, just don't make them the same characters. You make them new characters existing in the same universe.
I don't know. Do you guys watch Saturday Night Live? Because
no, sir.
Kristen Wiig left the cast. She's been back either two times or three times this season.
Mm-hmm.
Just she'll show up and Heather and I will go like, oh, come on. What is she doing there? She's off the show. We like start to get annoyed that she keeps coming back. You're done with the show. It's like that. Someone graduated high school, but they keep coming back. And it's like, dude, you're in college now. Why do you keep visiting your old art teacher or something like that, you know? So she was the only one. I was like, nah, but.
So she's the character. All right, all right, all right. Keeps coming back.
You know, I don't even care about the Ghostbusters. The funniest person in Ghostbusters is Rick Moranis. Am I right?
Is he the funniest?
Louis Tully? Come on. Bill Murray's funny, but Louis Tully says some funny stuff.
You know, Egon.
Yeah, Egon, but I'm just saying the funniest character, I think.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I'd have to think on that one.
Well, I mean, the funny takes of it is him hitting constantly on Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
And the over-characterization of the Keymaster.
Anybody want to play Parcheesi?
just think about it. Like, I mean, I think that the cast all have their moments, but he's consistently really funny in the movie. I mean, really? Do I sound insane?
I'd put him up there with the top. Yeah, the top ones. Yeah, I mean.
That makes good financial sense. Good advice.
So I'm saying, okay, if it's a direct reboot, they would have to, I mean, if they're going to follow the same script, they would have a new Louis Tully, wouldn't they?
Right.
Who would they cast as that?
Would they have to reverse the fact of that and have a male Sigourney Weaver character?
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
I mean, you'd have to kind of flip it completely 180 like that.
By the way, Ronald D. Moore did this first with Starbuck, am I right?
That's right.
And
Boomer.
I saw this story I thought was interesting on Consumer Reports. And I don't, Adam, you're a Netflix guy, right? And you've got Hulu.
I try to be.
You try to be. Now, listen to the story. I think it's very interesting.
It seems so easy.
Okay, why is she to the right?
And have access to countless video streams. Hello, on a over service there. You pay for, like Hulu Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Instant Video, HBO Go, or watch ESPN. And it seems just as easy to give your login to someone else. Surprisingly, a new release Consumer Reports survey shows that 46% of those asked share their passwords with friends or relatives who don't live with them. Is sharing your password illegal? Many of the terms of agreement seem ambiguous, but the companies don't seem to be cracking down.
Their business models, however, are...
Okay, well, now this guy's on the left.
Next year, things could be different, but for the time being, they're interested in creating streaming media addicts.
What do you feel like watching tonight?
While it technically might be okay to hand out your password, you could get a nasty surprise like the Muranos did when the show they wanted to watch got blocked unexpectedly.
They said Netflix is not connecting. So my husband said, see if the girls are on, see what's going on. That should have been okay, except my daughter said, oh, I bet so-and-so is watching. I'm like, how would so-and-so be watching? She said, I gave her my password.
Netflix,
what?
Like several
You're
others,
grounded.
Limits simultaneous viewing. Each subscription plan is different. Netflix is 1 to 4, depending upon your plan. Amazon Prime, 2 at a time. HBO Go allows 3. Hulu Plus, only 1. Watch ESPN, unlike the others, does not state any limits. So if you don't want to interrupt your own viewing pleasure, those limits should make you think twice before you give out your password. For contact,
what the hell's going on with this sound?
I'm Ashley Reynolds.
Who produced this story? All of a sudden, there's just a lady typing. Okay, the reason I thought this is interesting, if you guys got any of that, it'd be easier for me to just tell you, is that a lot of people who have Netflix or HBO Go or Hulu, they share their passwords with people who don't have it so they can watch stuff. And what they're saying is that Netflix doesn't care right now. They're not enforcing it. And I even read that, I read a thing about HBO. They're like, we're glad people are watching our shows and getting it out there. Maybe they'll eventually become HBO subscribers or whatever. So they're just happy you're watching their content. It seems kind of crazy that eventually you would think they would enforce it or something. Or
how are they going to know, honestly? Well,
because I don't know, honestly, because like Netflix.
I travel around the country, so you can't set it down to a server.
Right, or an ISP or something, because you're always at a different one. Like my Netflix account, I have it, like, you know, on my Xbox, PS3. I've got it in Emma's room on a Roku. I've got it on Heather's tablet. It's just on all these devices. We don't all watch it at the same time most of the time. Sometimes Emma will be watching sometimes we are. But, like, if you gave someone your password and go, hey, watch this, I don't know. It's kind of cool. But at the same time, you're like, bitch, you should be paying for this. Why am I paying for your shit? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
How do you feel about this, Adam?
Well, I mean, I've let a couple members of my family, like my mom and my sister, use my HBO Go account just because, you know, they want to watch certain things on it. But I would never do that for Netflix. I'm afraid that they would either mess with my queue or...
Yeah.
Or... or do something with that. But I mean, yes, HBO Go has gone out and said that, yes, we don't mind people giving, you know, passwords with the hopes that they themselves will one day want to purchase it. And especially since there will be a version of HBO Go that does not require a cable subscription.
Right.
So I guess they're fine with it right now, but yeah, I don't know how they would be able to track that if, you know, say if one account had multiple devices and two or more devices were on at the same time with that same account. Maybe that's how they figure it out. But
register it by a MAC address.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I like the idea that you could say, like, I don't know how good internet is where you go, Stephen. Like, if you were to – you travel around everywhere. But if you had, like, a Roku stick with you or that new Amazon thing where you could just take you're basically taking Netflix with you everywhere, and you just plug it in, and you have Wi-Fi in the hotel. I don't know if it'd be that how fast it is or whatever.
Some are good, some are bad.
I mean, if it just keeps buffering, you're like, screw it, I can't do this. But it is cool, the idea that you can take all these shows or whatever with you wherever you go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a neat idea, and I like that. So if they enforce it, we're like one ISP only. That would really suck, you know. Or, you know, eventually they'll probably do...
It'd suck for the people who want to use your passwords, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
Well, I mean, it would suck for you, too, because if you traveled outside your home like I do to multiple hotels, you
know... Yeah, they would think, like, at least 15 people are using your account, sir. It's like, no, it's me! It's me! I'm telling you! And there's also that...
You were in Michigan last week. You were in California the week before. Yes, I travel like that.
I don't have Dish Network, but I read about their new Sling service where it's like $20 a month just for internet television. And there's like, I don't know how many channels it is, but it's not all of them, of course. But it's like if you want to cut the cord and just kind of save some money, that's an interesting idea. One thing I wonder about, like if, say, eventually there was internet TV, like there probably will be eventually, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like I've even heard DirecTV was working on a Wi-Fi box where you don't have to have the coax hooked in and you just have your account connected to the internet. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But at one point does my internet provider go, dude, how much shit are you streaming or something?
Well, now they're supposedly changing that, too, to making the internet a utility, no longer a provider, you know. So that's supposed to, you know...
It needs to just be a...
Because you're going on the same line as the phone lines and whatnot.
Like, don't measure my bandwidth. I just pay you a certain amount, just give it to me kind of thing. Like, well, electricity is different because they actually measure that shit.
Well, I mean, it's traveling the same one, but they're not considering it a utility, so it's...
Right.
They're not paying the whatever certain tax or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, the issue is.
I'm just saying, we do...
I saw Bill post something about it, and I read a little.
We do stream a lot of stuff in this household. I just wonder... So far, nothing has slowed down or anything. I've never noticed, like, dude, it's just not working today.
See, that's what you got to worry about in a hotel. How many people are streaming a movie at the same time? So it funnels their...
Or just in crappy quality. Sometimes, Adam, do you watch Netflix on your Xbox or PS4? Or you have a PS4, right?
Right.
An Xbox.
I even use my PS3 since that's... I think the PS3 is better suited for just a standalone Blu-ray player because the PS4 does not have a Blu-ray remote yet.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love about... I will watch movies or Netflix on the PS3 even though I have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
And here's the main reason. The friggin' controller goes dead after like 20 minutes. You know, it turns off. So when I reach deposit, I'm like, okay, turn it back on. Come on. And then the light blinks a couple of times. Then it's on. And then I pause it. That's annoying as shit.
Well, they sell the little remote control, too.
I haven't gotten that.
$35.
$35? That's expensive, man. I don't have that kind of cash money. No, I guess I eventually did the same thing with the Xbox. I bought that controller. Yeah. I mean, the remote.
That's chump change.
But it's
another reason that I use the PS. I mean, as far as just using the controller to use the Blu-ray stuff on the PS3, they changed the command layout for the PS4. So like pause and play is another button, and stopping is another. And it's like I have to bring up the menu and look at the control layout just to figure out to stop or pause the stupid thing. So that's why I stick with the PS3 as far as either streaming. Or watching Blu-rays.
Yeah. I mean, PS3 is still a good console, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've watched things on the Xbox One in HD and PS3. There's no difference. It doesn't affect that performance, you know? But, I mean, there'll be times where I'll just flip on the Xbox. I will watch, like, when I watched The Wire, it was on the Xbox One. It was just easier to install it was just what I had on, and I watched it all on the Xbox One, but I kept running into that problem with the remote. I mean, with not the remote, the controller. But One thing for the Xbox One is you can program in the settings what closed captioning looks like. And I don't know if you guys do this. I may be crazy, but I watch closed captioning on everything pretty much. And I've just gotten used to it. And I know it's kind of crazy, but I just like having closed captioning on. I never miss anything that they say or whatever. And I've just gotten used to it. Am I crazy? I love closed captioning.
I mean, my brother, he doesn't hear real well. He works with machinery all day long, and the voices are lower than the side sounds, you know. So mm-hmm. he's like, what did they say? You know, when noise is going on at the same time. So at times we have to rerun movies back.
Yeah. Do you know, on DirecTV, did you notice they have two different kinds of subtitles? They have one that's called... There's standard closed captioning, but there's DirecTV subtitles. If you click on DirecTV subtitles, it's like this cool yellow. And I actually like that. I like the yellow. And that's how I watch things. So when I am watching Netflix, I have it yellow on... and you can actually... If you go on Netflix.com, you can make it in different... what do you call it?
Different fonts
of the letters. I know this. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just saying I love captioning, and it's kind of weird. Like when we're at Heather's parents and we're watching something, and I'm like, dude, I can't. Everyone's talking. I can't hear anything. I'm turning on the captioning, and Heather's mom will go, "Who turned the words on? Turn that off." And I'm like, "No. It's the only way I can see it." It's like, "Oh, it's so distracting." And I'm like, "I'm used to it. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, I don't mind the captioning." So anyway, wherever I was going with that, guys, I am sorry. But, oh, here's a story. My dad, I love my dad. He calls me and he goes, "Hey, new season of Justified started, right?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'm on HBO Go and I can't find Justified." And I just do like this at him. I go, I go, "Dad." He's like, "Yeah." And I go, "It's on FX." And he's like, "What?" And I go, "It's on FX. It's on FX." "Yeah, the channel FX, FX, the channel, the network. It's not on HBO. Oh. Just like, I just kind of long sigh. There's a reason you won't. A part of me wanted to go, "Well, it's on there, Dad. Keep looking." That would have been really cruel, though. It's there.
It's in alphabetical order. Look in the J section.
Justified. This most recent Justified was excellent.
I agree.
Character named Choo Choo.
Yes.
I love it. That was the first episode was kind of a slow burn, kind of preparing for the season kind of thing. And then the second episode, that was like good old fashioned Justified that I'm used to. Baby's reverse sneezing.
Yeah. Choo Choo is a very Elmore Leonard character.
Yeah.
Elmore. That's definitely someone he would have written.
You know, I have one problem with, remember, I don't know if you heard me talk about last season at all in previous shows, but I couldn't stand the Ava in prison storyline, mainly because she was there because a guard became obsessed with her and he ended up stabbing himself and blaming on her. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the fact that Raylan is now using her to be an informant for Boyd, the man she loved, supposedly, and he keeps threatening to put her back in jail if she doesn't give him something, even though she shouldn't have been there in the first place because a friggin' guard stabbed himself. It makes me get mad at Raylan. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I know she's done criminal things in the past. I understand that. But I feel like she didn't deserve to be in that prison. And the fact that she was, and now Raylan's using it as a reason, like he'll send her back if she doesn't deliver something, kind of makes me mad at him.
Well, I mean, it's really the only way that she could get out of it, since Boyd wasn't able to, bail her out.
right.
in any other way. Raylan and Ava's relationship changed a long time ago. It is definitely not the same way that it was in that first season. And he's just, especially this season, the last one, he's ready to be done with Harlan and all of its residents and move on to Florida. And he's really wanting this to be done. I don't think he's being cruel to Ava. I just think that
he's being impatient.
Conditions are the way that they are, that he has to pressure her into being informing, because if she can't help them, then I mean, he's got a point. They have no choice but to take her back.
Yeah, he is telling the truth, I guess, but I guess it just, like, you know, I'm just like, I know something he doesn't know, basically. You know what I mean? Or maybe he does know and doesn't care. I don't know. But I still love the show, of course. I'm just getting annoyed about that, you know.
Well, the interesting way that this could play out is that Ava's now, even after what she's done by the end of this recent episode, it seems like she's in a position where she could play both Raylan and Boyd and just kind of play them against each other and kind of see what will work to her advantage. Now, we both know that Raylan and Boyd will eventually come to, like, this ultimate showdown. But Ava is the wild card in this situation, and I'm wondering, will she be caught in the crossfire, or is she going to find a way to get out so she doesn't have to deal with either one of these men anymore?
Right.
And that could lead to something interesting, because the series began with the three of them, and it's going to end with the three of them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll be bummed when it's gone, you know, because I really like the show.
Yeah, me too.
When it comes back every year, I'm just like, oh, Justified's back, and I'm, like, excited about it.
And this is its last season?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you think, like, after Elmore Leonard died, they were just like, it just didn't feel right without him around to do this anymore or something? I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine who he liked the fifth season. It's not like the fifth season was like the worst, you know, season of, you know, it's not like the worst kind of television. It's still very entertaining, but it's lesser compared to the other seasons that followed.
It had been better in the past.
Yeah. And he's read quite a few Elmore Leonard novels. He's a big fan of his, and he's under the impression that losing Leonard may have shifted the dynamics of the show, unless, of course, Leonard gave them, like, ideas on how they should progress. Maybe they were always going to make the show last this long, or maybe Leonard's death kind of made them just stop in their place and maybe go, okay, maybe we should be considering an end game to this, because how long can we possibly let this go? It's like people not wanting Breaking Bad to go away. But it had to. They just couldn't do it forever.
It has to. There were episodes last season that I really liked. One in particular was the kid's dad comes into the picture and he's like a con man. I thought that was a good episode. There was some good stuff in there. I honestly think I have nothing against Michael Rapaport. I think he's a good actor and other things. He may have been miscast in that role.
Well, the Crow clan are just nothing but a bunch of thugs with varying degrees of intelligence.
I do love Dewey, though. He's hilarious.
they're just not as compelling as, like, Mags in season two, or
like real
or Elston Limehouse, or the guy that was in season three. I forget his name. Quarles.
Right. That's why I think it's great to see, like, Sam Elliott.
Yes.
And I expect him to be somebody pretty awesome. And it looks like some kind of Blackwater type group that has a lot of money or something.
Yeah. But like season five, my favorite episode was the one where they had Eric Roberts as that DEA agent. That's very much like Raylan.
Yeah. Love that.
And he got seriously injured in that episode. And I mean, last time we heard, he was recovering from it. I kind of hope they bring him back in.
Totally.
But Yeah, but they also had the two the Harris brothers, the guys who were working with Hot Rod, what's his face, and they had that amazing little Mexican standoff with Raylan and the Eric Roberts character, and then it was like Boyd and Wynn, and I think it was the Rappaport character. Mm-hmm. And that one of the Harris brothers tried to argue his way out of the situation by quoting King Lear, and it was just one of the funniest things. It was an episode that Elmore Leonard would have wrote.
The Harris brothers, the young one, skinny one, he's the bad guy in season one of The Wire. He's Avon Barksdale. And when I saw him in there, I was like, that's the dude from Justified. Because I knew him from that. It's cool. Great show. It's a great friggin' show, Justified. If you haven't seen it, anybody listening, seek it out. Watch season one. You'll be hooked. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Now, Adam, are you a Doctor Who fan in any way? Have you ever gotten into that?
Did it reboot, or did they always have Doctor Who shows throughout like the 80s and 90s? Because it seemed like all of a sudden, or maybe just sci-fi started getting the new stuff when Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, I think what happened is it was around a long time, then went away, new version in the early 2000s. Is that when it was, or mid 2000s? I remember it was like on BBC America. I mean, I know it was in the UK first, but it was on BBC America. Then Sci-Fi Channel started showing it.
Right. That's where I watched it. I lived with my brother for 5 years before we split apart, and I moved. I started living by myself. We watched the Doctor Who series from Christopher Eccleston's time to all the way when Andy Tennant was done with his run, but I haven't kept up with the show past that. Not because, if Andy Tennant's not in anymore, I can't do it anymore. I just, I got distracted by other things.
Right. Or David Tennant, you mean?
David, I'm sorry. I got that wrong.
No, it's okay. I've actually, honestly, I've never watched Doctor Who. Bill has told me many times to watch it, but I haven't gotten into it. But I know that great actors have come out of that series, Christopher Eccleston's fantastic, and David Tennant, I've seen him in other things. And he's been cast in the new AKA Jessica Jones series. And you guys, I'm super excited about Daredevil. Are you guys excited about Daredevil?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it other than what you've posted.
Well, it's going to be a new series, and it's the guy who did, who's running Daredevil. It's the guy who did Spartacus, whose name is, Adam, finish my sentence. His name is Steven... Adam, where are you? You're leaving me hanging there, buddy.
I got nothing. I'm sorry.
Steven DeKnight. That's his name. And
I haven't seen Spartacus yet, so I can't help
Spartacus!
You.
Okay, when it appears in February, the entire run, you got to watch it. When you watch that first episode, you're going to go, dude, what are these guys talking about? Then you watch another one, and then another, and then you realize, oh my God, this is so good. It's gotten really good. And
The first episode or two, you can.
It's kind of jarring because
you warm up to it.
It looks like they're like, oh, 300 ripoff. They're just trying to do 300. But
the effects aren't great in the first.
They get the hang of it after
the first
a while.
Here's
all you need to know, Adam. Produced by Rob Tapper and Sam Raimi. That's all you need to know. It's
gotcha.
Renaissance Pictures. So, and now they're, we know that they're doing a Starz series of The Evil Dead starring Bruce Campbell. Dude, that's going to be freaking awesome. I'm excited about that. But David Tennant has been cast in AKA Jessica Jones. She's a Marvel character. Basically, I've never read any comics with her, but I have heard it's supposed to be a great series where she was a superhero, kind of a lower tier superhero whose career never takes off. So she ends up becoming a civilian who solves cases, cases for hire where she, dealing
kind of like a step above Agent Carter type is.
Yeah, but she deals with like super like powered.
Right. But I'm just saying things. Agent Carter, she doesn't have any superpowers, but she deals with the people who do.
Right, right. So, I mean, it sounds pretty cool, but David Tennant's going to play the villain, the Purple Man. And I don't know. It sounds. I'm excited about this Netflix stuff, man. And it says he actually says he was a Marvel fan. He goes, I grew up an absolute devotee to the worlds of Marvel. So the fact that they've expanded into TV and film is the fact that I fantasized about when I was younger. So now to be a part of it, to be on the other side of it, it's a thrill. Wow, sounds cool, huh? I'm excited. I'm geeking out over here. Now, I shifting gears, guys.
Reverse.
I just had this revelation just sitting in my chair. And I had to put it on Facebook. Of course, that's where you put revelations, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, there will be a Han shoots first joke in The Force Awakens. I know it. It's like I've foreseen this.
Premonition.
Can you see them not pass? They can't pass it up. There's going to be a Han shoots first joke in the movie. Don't you think, Adam? How can they not?
A recall to it somehow.
And the whole audience is going to laugh, and you're like, oh, I know. I see what they did there. I shot first. I see it happening.
F you, Lucas.
F you, Lucas.
and the thing he shoots is a Gungan.
Oh, yeah. Exclaim! You know, face down. I can just see it happen. He's going to shoot something. I don't know. It just kind of popped into my head. But when the movie comes out and everyone sees it, no one's going to remember. Jason said this would happen.
So you had to put it down.
Yeah.
Jeez. We're going to hold you to that, Jason.
Yeah. If it's not in there and I go, wait. The next movie, they're going to have that joke in there. I just keep going forever.
You like, promised.
It's not in there. You're a liar. Hey, by the way, you mentioned Agent Carter. Have you been watching it?
I'm not up to this newest episode.
Golly,
this
Agent
week.
Carter.
Sergeant Carter. I didn't watch this week's episode.
Have you been watching
it,
Adam?
Did I watch last week's? I may not watch last week's.
I haven't. I've not this week's episode either.
I think
okay,
I'm two weeks behind.
So you guys have seen the first night, the two episodes back to back.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
The production values and everything, I think it looks great. I love it. The thing I get mad about is the next day I always have to read ratings down for Agent Carter or something like that. It's like, they're not going to, it doesn't matter. It's 8 episodes, you know, and I hope it comes back. I was even like, they need to find a way to transport her through time. Now I know she's an old woman in the Captain America, but she can still time travel and then her old self would disappear. So I don't know how time travel works.
Oh, wow. You want to bring time travel into the Marvel universe
this
early?
No, I don't really. You need to get Roberto Orsi in there, you know.
Oh, God, no. No, keep him out of this.
No, I'm kidding. But you guys need to watch this because I can't do my next story. It's about this kind of thing that happened on the most recent Agent Carter.
Yeah, I'm a little behind because of the last weekend.
That's cool. So you guys catch up on that. I think last week there wasn't a episode, and then it was this week.
Well,
it was
okay,
back.
Then I was wondering because I was looking at my list. I was trying to watch it before I came over today.
But one
I
thing,
just ran
like,
out of time.
I was a Marvel comic reader. I read Marvel comics, but I'm not really. I don't always remember the side characters. You know, the names of like there would be villains, but they had real names. But if you go read like certain like Easter eggs or whatever, like Agent Carter Easter eggs after the episode, people tell you that guy they talked about, he's related to this character in the Marvel Universe. I'm like, whoa, there's no way I would have caught that, you know? So you guys need
That's Dr. Ock's dad.
Dr. Ock's dad, yeah. I would catch that though. Otto Octavius, like I'm Jack Octavius. My silly brother, he's always getting into trouble or something like that. I don't know. So I won't talk about that last story, guys.
Sorry. Should have watched it.
So Tom Hardy stars in this movie called Lock, and I have seen it on Amazon, and you watched it.
Yeah, I rented it from Netflix and watched it last week. And
so what is it about?
It's written and directed by Steven Knight, and he's the and the only thing I know him from is he wrote the script for Eastern Promises, the David Cronenberg film with Viggo Mortensen as a Russian mobster.
Yeah, Russian bathhouse nude fight.
Yeah, that was awesome. This is a drama in which Tom Hardy plays this character by the name of Ivan Locke, who is a in construction and leaves his job site one night, gets into his car. He's got this BMW model. I think it's like a RV or – no, not an RV, but just like a regular I don't know much about cars, but anyway, he's got one of those systems where his cell phone's linked directly with his car. And he goes on this road trip one night, this 90-minute road trip, and through all the calls he makes through his employers, his coworkers, his family, and to this one party who I won't reveal because it's giving away spoilers, he's apparently attending to a personal matter, and it's a personal matter that is such that it jeopardizes his job and quite possibly his marriage. Now, the thing about this movie is that you are spending 90 minutes in real time with Hardy in that car, and you only see him, and it's just nothing but the conversations he has with other people, and that's how the information and the narrative is fed through to us. And it was just riveting stuff because all of the pressure is on Hardy to keep us invested in this character, what he's going through, and how he's dealing with these people as he makes this choice. And we find out gradually why he's doing it. It was an incredible film, and definitely another reminder of just how great an actor Tom Hardy is.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the one where the car is completely wired with cameras and everything?
Yeah, I mean, there are cameras all over it, but I mean, the camera work is beautiful.
No, I mean...
the way they filmed it, you mean?
Not why they filmed it, but the way he's spied upon by the guy telling him what to do. I've seen a movie just recently about a guy, he's forced to steal a car.
Oh, I know. You're talking about the Ethan Hawke movie.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, with Selena Gomez.
He's being forced to do it. It's, the law character is doing this definitely of his own will.
Please,
but it doesn't have like these fixed cameras all over the dashboard of the car. I'm not particularly sure how they filmed it, but it definitely doesn't look like the way it does in like a reality show.
Right. It looks cinematic.
Right. Yes.
But that Ethan Hawke movie, this car is rigged where they can see him, and they're forcing him to do things.
That's what I was
wondering. Hopefully, Locke is way better than that movie. It's called Getaway.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only saw bits of it. I didn't remember who was in it. I was just like going, sounds like
that. I have seen that on Amazon, so I'm going to watch it. I actually remember last week I was talking about they have this special deal, get Amazon Prime for $72. Mm-hmm. So I did, and then I was like, oh, we could watch all – I don't know what any of this shit is. And then I like just logged off and didn't watch anything. But today – an old friend, I started watching Firefly in HD on Amazon. That show friggin' holds up, man. I watched the 2-hour first episode.
I've got the Blu-rays. You can borrow them.
Looks fantastic. I don't need to. It's on Amazon. But that show still holds up. It's a great show. Love Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it as well. I got the Prime.
I haven't watched any of the... other pilots yet, but I want to. I just haven't gotten around to it. I've been kind of, after The Wire, I'm just like, I don't feel like getting into anything right now. It's going to be a while.
Spent.
My dad just dives into another series, like, immediately. I'm like, I have got to take a week off or something.
Yeah, there was a, they're posting something about people who binge watch entire shows.
Mm-hmm. I love it when you're in it.
It depresses you.
Yeah, when it's over. It really does. And that's one thing, like, I was thinking about, like, Chuck, how I've watched all 5 seasons. I remember when Chuck ended, Adam, like, the broadcast, I'll never forget the final 2-hour episode. They aired 2 episodes back-to-back. Something happened with DirecTV and NBC, I remember. I don't remember what happened, but we didn't have NBC. It was so effed up. I was like, I have no way of watching it. What the hell? I don't remember what happened, the particulars, but I told Bill and I go, dude, can you pull the Chuck finale off of BitTorrent for me? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. And he did. And I remember it's kind of messed up where it would freeze in certain parts. Oh, it was torture watching it messed up. And I was just like, oh, I got to get through this. So anyway, when it was over, I was kind of like in this depression because I remember sometimes with Chuck, I would like go, I want to watch it, but I'm going to wait till there's two episodes to watch in a row. And I'm going to watch two in a row or something. Like I would let them stack up because I'd want to do a marathon. Like I would even like,
yeah, they call them binge watching more than two episodes in a row. I'm like, I would think a season is binge watching
to
me.
The Wire, I'd be like, okay, if I, after I drop Emma off, if I come home, started at about 9 a.m., I could probably get five episodes in before I pick her up. I'd be like that. I'd watch like five episodes in a row. And it's almost like when you're into a book, like really deep immersed into it with all the storyline. That's what it's like. But what I realized when Chuck was over, I was like, and I didn't own any of it on Blu-ray or anything. I was like, I could start over. I could get season one and rewatch it. Because, you know, the last time I had watched it was in 2007 when it aired. I never rewatched it unless they showed the occasional rerun or something. So I remember looking on the WB store. First, I looked on Amazon. Dude, they were way overpriced for a long time. It was like $55 for season one on Blu-ray. I was like, Jesus, I can't afford that. It would cost way too much to own all five seasons. I mean, by the way, season five wasn't even out yet because the season had just ended. But I was like, okay. And one day I saw like WB sale. Like if you go to the WB store, you can buy the WB shows. And like something like all titles 50% off. And I was like, no way. And I like looked and season one was like $19.99. I was like, yeah, holy shit. So I like ordered it and I was like, season two also. And so after I watched season one, you know, getting back into the show, remembering it. And then I watched season two. Then I had to order season three, then four. Then I remember it was like on my birthday and I was like, Heather, I really thought you were going to get me season five of Chuck. She goes, oh crap, I forgot about that. Here, you guys go home. I got to go do something. And you know, I was like, oh, what are you going to do? And you know, she was really going to Best Buy to pick it up. So, but what I realized, like when I rewatched it and I get up to season five, I start getting bummed out because I know it's getting close to the end. And then I could start over again. And there's not many shows I can do this with where I can rewatch them over and over again. And I'm not even talking about hitting play and kind of being at the computer and not paying attention. I'm sitting down and paying full attention to the show, like watching all of it. Because there's some shows, you know, you rewatch and you're just not even paying attention kind of thing.
I did that for years, probably with Red Dwarf.
Mm, like watch them over and over?
Oh, yeah.
Adam, have you ever seen Red Dwarf?
Oh, yeah, big time.
And those are all on Netflix now.
Yes. Yeah, they've been on Netflix for a while. But my brother and I would watch them when they were on PBS.
Yeah, right. Jason and I would, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was our Saturday nights. Sad Saturday.
And like you would buy the VHS box sets too, weren't you?
Yeah, I had the VHS ones and the DVDs. If I can figure out, I got to get rid of. Still have probably boxes of VHS.
And could you still like start it over? Like I'm going to start with season one and rewatch it.
I found from like season three on. I don't have season one and two. They're boxed up somewhere in my house.
Didn't they do a remaster or something? Or weren't they going to do that? Like updated effects or something? Did you ever hear that, Adam? I thought I did a long time ago. Maybe I'm thinking of Star Trek.
I don't know. I go on the Red Dwarf site occasionally. They'll send me, you know, I'm on their mailing list whenever something new happens.
I know a while back, didn't they do a Red Dwarf like
Season 10?
Or did they do a movie or anything?
They did
anything?
A movie, and they called that, like, season 9.
Was it any good, or...?
It was okay. I mean, but season... I think season 10 was picked back up. You know, I think they kind of just got into it pretty fast. It was It was more like two really long episodes for their movie. But the last season, and I don't know if they were planning on ever making any more or not, but I've got everything so far.
Okay, so Red Dwarf Remastered was an attempt in the mid-90s. So if they remastered in the 90s, it's not like in HD or anything. No. To bring the first three series of Red Dwarf up to date, a collaborative effort between BBC Worldwide and Grant Naylor, it was hoped that the remastered versions of the episodes would prove more appealing to broadcasters in international territories. Only series 1 through 3 were remastered. Although the BBC had commissioned for the remastering of series 4 and 5, Doug Naylor decided to put the project on hold and wait for technology to catch up with her vision. Maybe they have done it since then or something. I don't know. But apparently they changed some, like, the title sequence for series 1, 2, and 3, and new computer-generated effects through space.
I think that on the broadcast they are, but not on the DVDs.
Okay. But
I've seen some rebroadcasts on.
If it's on Blu-ray, I bet there'll
be. Some stuff looks different. I'm like going, that looks kind of. Don't remember what. That's not what I remember, but.
Right. That's cool, though. I always liked the series, and I've never seen any of the later ones, I don't think. Just the early ones. This is good stuff. This is a fun show. Did they ever make a new show, or did they just keep going back to Red Dwarf? The guy, Naylor. Remember, it was two guys. Grant Naylor was two different guys, yeah. And then it just ended up being one guy. One guy left or something.
I thought they were both still in it.
I thought they split up. Adam, help me out here. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and I don't know if they ever made anything after that.
Grant Naylor was the collective name used by writers Rob Grant and Doug Naylor for their collaborative work, including the television series Red Dwarf. Grant and Naylor themselves called this pseudonym a gestalt entity. The collaboration began in the 80s when they blah, blah, blah. The Grant Naylor collaboration had become known, created the cult sci-fi hit Red Dwarf. I'm trying to find where they split up. Okay, here we go. In the mid-90s, after the success of Series 4 of Red Dwarf, the Grant Naylor collaboration ended.
That's Series 6, by the way.
Oh, stop it. It's easy to get it messed up. Leaving Naylor with all the writing duties for the show. So it ended, and Naylor stayed, and he wrote the show. When Doug Naylor was apparently left with control of Red Dwarf, Rob Grant cited creative differences as the reason of his departure. His main reason, however, he said, was that he wished to have more on his tombstone than Red Dwarf. Yikes, has that worked out for him? Doug Naylor went on to write Series 7, 8, 9, 10 of Red Dwarf by himself, sometimes in collaboration with other writers, particularly on Season 7. Series 7. They don't call it seasons, it's series.
Yes.
But, that's crazy. One of the dudes left.
So after
I remember you did know that a while back. I think you just forgot about it.
Probably.
Because I think we talked about it a long time ago.
That's back when I was really into it.
Yeah. I remember there was a Red Dwarf magazine like they had.
Smegups. Smegazine.
Yeah, Smegazine. Did you ever get that, Adam? The Smegazine?
No, I did not.
Never got that into it.
Oh, the old Comic-Cons.
All right, that's enough Red Dwarf. Oh, yeah, I remember you bought a Smegups, like, dupe, and it didn't work.
Right.
And it must have been
duped.
Yeah, you got duped. Man, rip off. So, Adam, are you going to go see that new time travel movie, Project Almanac?
I don't know. That's the found footage one or the handheld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a movie, I don't know.
Very chronic.
I want to wait on the reviews for that one.
Yeah,
you'll see it. I'll go see it. Why not?
Let's see what Rotten Tomatoes is. It Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
You say tomato, I say tomato. Wait, you say tomato, I say. Tomato.
Let's see. 37%.
Let's call the whole thing off.
37% rotten. Audience score 54% liked it. And it's got the turned over bucket of green popcorn. That's, I'm not sure that's good. Usually if it's a bad review, like Tomato Meter, but the audience score is positive, that means it's a, you know, it's the audience cool. liked it, but the hoity-toity reviewers are like, eh, it's not so good. It's dumb, so dumb. In fact, that it makes the science behind Sharknado seem sound. Kevin Carr, 7M Pictures. Wow, that's not a very good review, is it? It makes Sharknado seem sound.
Sharknado plausible.
It's not so good. Adam, you know what? I don't know. I don't even know how old you are, Adam. I'm 43.
I'm 34 right now.
Okay, right now you're 34. So the reason I'm asking is the age of Blockbuster was Adam, young Adam, renting games and renting movies, taking them home on Friday kind of thing?
Yeah, that was definitely a weekend staple for me as a teenager.
Nice, because you know when I was listening to your podcast, the Past and the Pending, which I loved, by the way.
Thank you.
I really think you hit on something there where it's like the nostalgic love. Okay, first of all, you're talking about movies that you love, but then you're giving the kind of nostalgic story of when you watched it and what was going on in your life, which I think is awesome. I like that idea. So, but it made me think of, you know, that age when you'd go to Blockbuster. Like, for instance, Steven and I worked together. You would work. Most of the time it was during the day. Sometimes we worked together in the day, or sometimes I'd work at night. Mm-hmm. And if I worked at night, you would come up to the store, and when we'd leave, we'd go to Blockbuster.
Right.
Walk around for over an hour. Do you remember that, Adam? You would go there for a movie, but I don't know. Would you do this too, where you would walk around for an hour just picking up every single movie and reading about it?
Oh yeah, I never had a Blockbuster around. They had other places like there was the Hastings near where my parents live. That's been around for quite a few years, but I would do that at the Pleasant Plains Video Mart as well.
Did you wait? It's like you would go there and you'd say, "I want this movie." You go there and it's not there, so you'd wait.
Yeah,
and hopefully somebody would return.
It's like,
it.
Oh, damn it, Tombstone's all checked out.
We would go up to the front and watch when people would return, see if we could read them on the box as they're
Yeah, the people would put the stuff in the chute when you'd see people walk up, they'd put their movie in down the chute, and then they walk in to get a new movie. So you'd sit there and watch and see them start stacking new movies up. Oh, dude, they're about to check in a Tombstone. And you'd wait for them to like stack it up and go, yeah, do you have a Tombstone? Oh, okay, thanks. And you grab it and go, dude, I got it, or something like that. Another thing Steve and I would do, we'd walk around and whatever bad titled movie, we'd pick it up. Like, I'll always remember there's a movie called Evil Laugh. And we'd always go, Evil Laugh. We'd always pick that one up. Or you'd
be on the other aisle and he'd lift it up over and make it laugh at me.
Or we'd walk by the Frankenhooker and hit the want a date button on the box. Remember it had like a built-in voice on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, good times.
Did you go see me that way at the theater with me?
No, I remember you guys telling me about it. So then I had to, of course, see it when it came out on VHS. Classic. Have you ever seen Frankenhooker, Adam?
No, I have not.
An instant classic. You've got to see Frankenhooker. I don't know if you really got to, but it's actually hilarious.
Hilariously bad.
Hilariously bad. But yeah, the best part of checking out at Blockbuster, sir, you have a $25 late fee. And I go, oh, crap. Okay. Dude, I got to pay it. We got to rent these movies, right?
It was before I had an account.
Like, I would get paid, but it'd be like, there goes $25 of my
paycheck.
It'd
be like, we would take turns. It's like, okay. He goes, I know I got a late fee. You going to rent it this week?
Dude, I got a late fee. Remember Lethal Enforcers? I had it for like a week. It's like, okay.
I rented Robot Jocks again.
There will be
generations of kids who will never know what a late fee is now.
I know. You know, it's funny telling Emma stuff like this. My daughter's 10. In her room, she has a box with Hulu, Netflix. She's also got a laptop. She's got a tablet or whatever. But I'm just like, you know, when I was a kid, you just had to watch the show when it was on. There wasn't any, like, pausing, rewinding, or hitting record. Eventually, we got a VCR where we could record it, but it was on a big plastic cassette tape that I, you know, we have in the other room that you're like, what are these? You know? But, yeah. Did you know I didn't have a phone I could carry around with me when I was a kid? I couldn't. There was nothing called the internet when I was a kid that I knew of. You know, there's, they might have had those bulletin boards eventually. Like, I remember my friend Leonard, he had like a, it's a thing. It's called a bulletin board. And you get on with my Atom. He had like a Coleco Atom computer. Like, it's like, you know, you connect and you can read bulletins. And I'm like, hell yeah, real cool, dude. It's just like, this sounds like the lamest shit I've ever heard. Can we go now? You know, but
look,
it's,
you can play solitaire.
And it's funny, like,
I could do that with a deck of cards.
They could do a Back to the Future now where they go back to the 80s. And it, I think it'd be just as foreign as the 50s to now kids today.
Yeah.
Don't you think? It's like, wow, where were their cell phones? Where were their smartphones?
Yeah, because, I mean, what, that was in 85, so they went back 30 years.
And it is funny that you bring that up, Adam, that we would go to this place on Friday night, payday, and walk around and pick up movies on video cassette that we'd rent for, what were they, like $3.50 or something?
Yeah,
something. A rental. Like that. And they'd always get you with the late fees.
Well, the new releases were $3, and I think it was a dollar.
Did they have, like, dollar rentals for older movies?
Dollar rentals for older movies.
Like, every once in a while, we'd get, like, an old horror movie or something.
We'd get, like, 2 or 3 movies.
Let's rent Chopping Mall again. What the hell? Gotta watch that shit again. But then we'd go back and watch. You know, we'd play, like, you know, Sega Genesis or something, but we'd always end up watching a couple of movies. But that was the thing we did back then. But I guess there's people who do that on Redbox now, right? Let's go to Walgreens, go to the Redbox. It's funny. Sometimes, like, if I go to Walgreens for something, I'll see people standing out there waiting at that machine waiting to get a movie. I'm like, what the hell are those people doing? I mean, I honestly would get pay-per-view on the DirecTV box than, the, you know. Have you ever done the Redbox thing, Adam?
Not as much as I used to, but in the, like, the past couple of years, I would do it every now and then. Like, you know, if I went to like the Walmarts, usually have one in every entrance / exit, and like in that little small lobby where you've got some, you know, crappy, you know, arcade machines or whatever, like the little or the place where people just strand their shopping carts. But there's a Walgreens up here that has like 4 kiosks outside.
Wow. They must make good bank off of those things.
I was snobby. I'd go buy the DVD.
You'd go buy the
Blu-ray. I just don't want to have to remember to take it back like after a day.
Right. Is it like, how much is one rental? Like, if you, do they have Blu-rays, by the way?
They do, and I think the Blu-rays are like maybe I think like regular DVDs are like a little over $1. I think Blu-rays are close to like $3 or just a little over. It's been a while since I've used, so I don't know if the
and
prices have changed that much.
They have late fees too, and I guess it, like, if you don't take it back for a few days, is it automatically charged to your card or something?
It'll charge you, like, if, you know, if in like in a 24-hour period has gone by and you haven't, you know, put it back. Returned it back to a kiosk.
And I would be afraid. I know this is just the way I think, because if your credit card's involved, what if the machine doesn't read it right and it's counting it against me? Like, no, you never returned it. See, I put it in the thing! You know, I'd be worried about some shit like that.
It's a DVD. You're going to get the scratched one.
Yeah. Has that ever happened? You get a scratched one that won't play or anything?
No, not from Redbox for some weird reason. I have got scratched discs from like Gamefly which is what I use for like video game rentals. Not that much from the Netflix disc, which I the disc service from Netflix, which I still use. Usually they're in good condition. The sleeves are really crumpled up sometimes, but the discs are usually in good condition. But I haven't had a bad experience with a Redbox rental.
You know what's funny is when they did that. Remember when I used to have the Netflix disc, and as soon as they made that streaming only. I was like, that's what I'm doing. I'm not doing the disc anymore because I remember they were charging a little bit extra for Blu-rays. And I was like, I think I'm done renting Blu-rays, you know? And remember, you know, back when Netflix first launched, you know, streaming, they didn't have a lot of stuff on there. I think, was it $6.99 at first a month? It wasn't that much at first. Maybe it was $7.99, but it was like,
$7.99.
It was just enough where it was like, you know, it's not that much. And there were some shows on there and stuff.
Two movies a month, and it's covered what you would rent.
Yeah, it was kind of not of a novelty at first. And then they started – remember, there wasn't very much HD stuff, and then they started adding it. But now, though, dude, there's so much stuff. I would say Netflix is totally worth it now.
Oh, yeah. I can remember when they first made the app available on the Xbox 360. And I think, like, the first movie I started, they had Young Frankenstein available to stream. And it was just pixelated to hell. Like the video quality was so bad.
Right.
But that, and I think it was like one of Jackie Chan's early movies. I think maybe it was Super Cop. I don't remember. But I mean, you had some questionable video quality, and then it would kind of smooth out as the movie would progress.
I know I would hit play and it would look like shit for like 2 minutes and then it would finally look okay.
Exactly. But now, somehow they figured that shit out. I still use the disc stuff because I hate to say it, but the disc library is always going to be bigger, and you won't have to worry about titles disappearing.
And you will get a lot newer movies. Like Netflix won't have. Sometimes they get new movies, and it kind of shocks me. I remember when Skyfall first appeared on Netflix. I was like, "Holy shit, Skyfall's on here! That was pretty fast." And that stuff like that. Like The Interview is on Netflix now. I haven't watched it yet, but. That's a different case, though. That's not the norm, but
Snowpiercer came on Netflix pretty quick as well.
Yeah. And it's just like way better now than it was. And do you remember, I don't know if you had a PS3 when, I think, like you were saying, Xbox 360 got a Netflix app first, and then Sony was like, a Netflix app is coming to PlayStation 3. It is in the development. And then finally they were like, if you want Netflix, you can request it. And they send you a Netflix disc that spins in the console while you have it running. It was really weird. And then finally they said, okay, now you can download an app. It was just kind of funky at first. Do you remember any of that?
By the time when I got a PS3, and it was like the night after the PS4 was announced, back in 2013, by the time I bought one, it was already available as just a download app. But I can remember people talking about, you know, needing a disc for it, which just seems completely bananas to me.
You know what I really, I don't know. Are you guys Community fans, the TV show Community? You guys watch that?
No. I don't watch
it. Adam, you?
It's another one of those things that I have not yet got to.
Okay. I love the show. It's a great show. And as you know...
Now you can't talk about it. This.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. No,
you can talk about it.
It got canceled by NBC. And it was like kind of like... There was some point in the series where... I forget what it was. The show is very self... it's very meta. And it's very like... A lot of movie references and stuff. It's really cool show. It's just hard to explain, but there was this mantra, six seasons and a movie. And that's things fans said. I remember like at one point, Dan Harmon was fired off the show. The guy who created the show was fired.
Right.
And they brought in new writers to do the show without him. And I was like, oh God, this is going to suck. But I really love the show and all of the characters. So I watched that season. It was season 4 with totally new writers. and something was really off. It was like they were trying to be community, but it just didn't have that
heart.
That heart to it. And somehow with season five, they hired him back, which made, I can't believe they did that. When they fire a showrunner, it's for good, but they're like, yeah, you're the only guy who can do this. We need you back. And he was like, he even said he was the kind of guy that would never say yes to that, but it was his baby. So he's like, okay. And he came back, and I think season five was awesome. So it's like six seasons in a movie. And then NBC was like, canceled, and everyone was like, no, there's only been five seasons, there needs to be six seasons and a movie. And that's when they were like shopping around to Netflix or Hulu, trying to get somebody to pick the show up. And finally Yahoo for Pete's sakes was like, we'll pick it up. And they have Yahoo Screen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. I watched one thing on there before. What was that thing called with Zachary Levi? I don't know. Adam, you need to watch this if it's still on there. It's so funny. What was that called? Was it Tiny Commando?
Oh, yeah.
Ed Helm created this show called Tiny Commando where I'm going to make sure the videos just don't start playing when I click on this, where basically, Zachary Levi is a really tiny guy. He's a miniature dude, but he's commando, and he's a badass, and he solves crimes. And there was one with like a hamster who had gotten loose in a house or something. I can't even remember.
I don't remember
it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen, but Zachary Levi gives it his all, and it's really funny. But that's on Yahoo Screen. And apparently, it's an app on Xbox 360 where you can watch things on your TV. My Xbox 360 is in Emma's room now, and I have the Xbox One in here, and they don't have a Yahoo Screen app on Xbox One. What the hell? Is it called Tiny Commando?
I think so.
Yeah. Tiny Commando. Okay. Adam, you got to promise me you'll watch this. oh man, what the hell? It's not working. But anyway, it's called Tiny Commando, so check that out. It's really funny. Ed Helm, I believe, created it, and he's like this bad guy who's, instead of hands, he has giant thumbs. It's just
Isn't
he miniature too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the same size as Zachary Levi, and he's
both arms or thumbs, or just one arm? Is
it? I don't even remember, but I remember they have a battle and a guy's train set. It's Brian Posehn's train set, and he's like, "What are you guys doing to my train set? You're wrecking it." I love whenever his voice, whenever he gets all worked up. But yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. But Yahoo Screen was like, "We'll do community." We'll bring it on our Yahoo Screen. And I just want an app to come to either PS3 or Xbox One before it premieres in March. Because I don't want to have to watch it on computer.
Spoiled.
I'm spoiled bastard. You spoiled rotten bastard. I know. I don't want to watch it on my computer.
I want to watch it on my tiny 19-inch display.
Yeah. Dude, this is 27. No, I think it's 24. I don't even remember. What size is my monitor, Adam? Do you remember? No. Okay. So, Adam, what are you playing right now? Video games.
Well, I've already sent you this via Facebook messaging, but I'm pretty much done with Destiny.
Yes.
Yeah, I've reached the stopping point, and it's not necessarily because of the whole, oh, I'm tired of doing the same thing over and over again, despite the fact that that's exactly what I've been doing. I accepted that. I never had a problem with it. The problem is that the in-game stuff, which I'm at the appropriate level for, I don't have any time for it. I've talked with this about you regarding the fact that the raids, which are said by a lot of people to have, like, you know, the best content in the game.
Right.
They don't have any matchmaking system. You have to have like five other friends, and you need to have like a night set apart where you can invest like 2 or 3 hours or however long those raids last.
It's like insane amount of time it takes.
Right. And because of my work schedule, when I'm online, hardly anyone else is online, so I can't partner with anyone. And I just reached this point where if I can't progress any further, if I can't see the content that everyone's gushing about, then what's the point for me right now?
Yeah.
So I'm taking a break from it, and whenever Bungie, puts out a patch, whether it's on this game or maybe the next game, where you can, it's easier for you to get into a match with other people to do stuff like this, then maybe I'll jump in. But for right now, I feel like I'm missing out on other stuff, so I'm taking a break from Destiny. So
you know what I on Xbox One I saw? They were advertising Resident Evil, the first game, HD remaster, $19.99. And I was like, ooh. Dude, I love the original Resident Evil on the PlayStation.
Right.
Did you ever play that, Adam?
Not when it came out. When I first got a PSP and they started making PS1 games available for download, I did get the director's cut of the PS1 version, nice. Which I think enabled analog control, despite the fact that the analog controls were not available on the PSP. it was... I can understand the appeal of it, but I did not appreciate the tank controls and some of the more
it's like you're driving
archaic elements
a
of the game.
Yeah, it's like pre-rendered backgrounds, and you're like, you can only walk one direction, or you kind of like you're steering a giant tank, like you said.
Yeah,
but, I'll never forget. When that game came out, I didn't even have a PlayStation. I had a bunch of roommates who, one of them had a PlayStation. Like, he brought it home, and I was like, what is this? There's a new video game system? Sony does it? And I remember him renting Resident Evil and watching. First of all, the opening video is freaking hilarious with actors, and it's awful.
Yes.
But I remember watching it going, dude, this is awesome, the first time. And the voice acting is hilariously bad, like Barry Burton and stuff. And I remember there was like...
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Yeah, the Jill sandwich. But I remember playing that game and my friend going, dude, can you... You could just hook this up in your room. And I was like, huh? He goes, I need to go to bed. I was like, oh, cool. Thanks, man. And I like unhooked it and took it to my room. And I was like playing it all night and I couldn't get past a certain level. And I remember like, I don't know, it was like 3 a.m, went to a grocery store looking and I found a video game magazine. It was like, cool, Resident Evil walkthrough. And like went back and I was like trying to find my way through the game. And then I told Laura about it. You know, she didn't even live with me, but I was like, you got to come over tomorrow. So she came over and we were up real late at night and playing this. And I'll never forget, something happened to the cable. This was back in the old coax, like would hook directly to the coax on the TV, you know?
It had that box.
Yeah, not the box. It was like a coax would just slide onto it.
Right.
You know, the little point would go in the thing.
Yeah.
And it was like messing up, and I looked, and the little pin that went in broke off. I was like, oh shit, this isn't even my PlayStation. What am I going to do? And I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. And like in the middle of the night, here's Laura and I. We're looking around for a new one, like in the PlayStation video game section. Ah, sweet, bought a new one. I just remember we marathon sessions of that game, so I always have a place in my heart for Resident Evil, the first one. And it's something special, guys.
Yeah, this is an HD remake of the remake that they put out on the GameCube.
Right.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't even close to a Jill sandwich. Yeah, so they basically, on the GameCube, they made a new Resident Evil. And I'll never forget this. Laura bought a GameCube to play that. And I remember she was like, oh, it looks so awesome, the shark part and all that. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I could play it. But now I can if I wanted to. And Emma could watch me play that because it's not scary anymore, is it? Or is it?
I don't know.
Have you guys heard of a game called Five Nights at Freddy's?
Heard of it. No, I haven't played it.
Emma was telling me about, Dad, I wanted to tell you about this game. I was like, what's going on? You're a security guy at a Chuck E. Cheese type place. It's like a pizza place, Freddy something's pizza. I was like, okay. I was like, is this like a horror game? Scary? She goes, yes. And I go, okay, well, tell me what it is. She was like very serious about this. They're robots like you, like Chuck E. Cheese. And I go, okay, I'm getting this part. Well, at night, they come to life and they try to kill you. And I was like, dude, that sounds creepy. She goes, you look on the monitors to see when they're coming. And when they do, you have to put a mask on so they can't see you. But if they catch you, they'll come right into the camera and scare you. And I was like, oh, wow, that sounds scary. And she was like, do you remember the other night when I said I couldn't sleep and I wanted Mama to sleep with me? And I was like, yeah, that's because I was watching that video on YouTube. I was like, oh, you could have told us you were scared. She goes, it's really scary. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, dude, I got to check this out now. So I like go on YouTube. Apparently it started out as like an iOS game for like iPads. You could play it. But now it's on consoles. And they've actually had Five Nights at Freddy's 2. And then they're advertising a third one. But basically what it is you're kind of like Night Trap. You're clicking on different monitors. And you look every once in a while, you have to look down the hall. Like also, and you can turn a light on and there will be a robot standing there like, oh shit, and you have to put a mask on and they'll go and scan you. And if they don't see anything, they'll leave. But the animation is very, it's not like real, it's kind of shitty, you know, but something about that makes it scarier. But if they do catch you, like you turn and they're like right there, it'll fly in your face and they'll go like, wah! Like that, and that's what scares you. You're like jump, go, oh shit! And they have videos of people on YouTube playing the game, and you're watching them play it, and you watch them go, oh, like that. And it's actually pretty funny. I started like laughing whenever they would jump and stuff, and I was like, dude, I need to play this. But I can understand how someone Emma's age, it was like, no. And think about that. If you worked at Chuck E. Cheese at night and you're sweeping up, then you look and like one of the robots is missing on stage. You go, dude, what the hell? That would creep you out, wouldn't it?
It's in a different position. He was holding a guitar a second ago.
Well, you look and it's gone. And then you turn around, it's right there. And you're like, ah! And he shoves a pizza down your throat and kills you or something. Stuffs you with cotton candy or sticks your head in a whack-a-mole.
Puts your head in the cotton candy. Cotton candy swirl.
But Five Swirly. Nights at Freddy's, if you guys haven't, you guys need to look that up. But just she was so, I need to tell you something. It's like, oh my God, what's going on? Five Nights at Freddy's. Don't say it out. It's like, oh my God.
Don't say it out loud.
Sounds very scary.
Hear us.
I was like, well, do the robots attack you in the day? No, they're just regular robots. You know, they're at the pizza place. It's like, why do they turn murderous at night? I would keep that place open 24 hours if that happened. As soon as the lights go out, they're like, I don't really know the premise that well, so I need to look more into it. But if you guys want to check out,
it's just nighttime that they come alive, so it doesn't matter if the lights are on inside.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. The only other thing, I know both you and Bill and now Steven, but since both you and Bill were kind of like earlier adopters of the Xbox One, that y'all have talked about playing Titanfall.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if you still play it at all, but you, both of you had a reasonably good experience with that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And then, like, I was like, oh, I guess this is all there is. It's just doing matches, death matches over and over again, right?
Is that the game I played?
No, you played Destiny.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, one night I said, I put Steve in front of the TV and had him play Destiny. But Titanfall was a lot of fun. But like I said, it just gets old after a while because you're just doing death matches. And I really like story. I like being immersed with characters. And like Last of Us is a good example. Probably the best game I've ever played was The Last of Us. the storyline, the harrowing adventure, and the scary bits. But Titanfall is just a sci-fi premise with death matches, and there's no storyline. I don't care what they say. It's weak sauce, you know. Have you ever played it?
Well, since I don't have an Xbox One, I have my 360. I still use it. And recently, probably on the Xbox One as well, on the Xbox Live Marketplace, they have had a publisher sale for Electronic Arts. And the deluxe edition of Titanfall was available for the 360 for like under $13. And I picked it up, and this has all the DLC on it as well. And it is a 360 version. It does not run at 60 frames per second like the Xbox One does. I think it kind of switches between 30 and I think like 40 or 45, just depending on what's happening on screen. But all I've played so far is just the tutorial stuff. And for a last-gen port, it looks pretty good.
I think it does look. I've seen the footage of the Xbox 360. It is very playable. And there's a Destiny in Xbox 360 also, isn't there?
There is. But I'm not going to jump down that road since I've reached a stopping point with it.
Yeah, funny about like the Xbox 360 or even the PS3, they weren't bad consoles. They were great, and it's funny. I know the new consoles look way crisper and better, but it's not that much of a step down remembering those games, right?
No.
But I do desperately, I don't have a PS4, but I'd love to play The Last of Us remastered PS4 version.
Yeah. That would work. I rented it from Gamefly last month, and I did it mostly to play the DLC. There was something called Left Behind.
Right.
Which detailed a backstory regarding Ellie. And it was just as good as the regular game. And I played a little bit of the first game. It looks and it sounds just awesome. I mean, the PS3 version was amazing, and it pushed that, you know, that system's technology as far as it could possibly go. But the PS4 one is really, really impressive, and it's got like the full package. I think it's got all of the downloadable content, all of the multiplayer maps. If you were interested in something like that, they even included that. That making of documentary called Grounded that detailed the making of the game.
Yeah, I watched that.
It's a good package, but I wasn't able to purchase it. But if it comes down in price, which I'm sure it will sometime this year, I'll definitely pick it up.
It's fantastic. And I don't care. I don't want there to be a sequel of that game. I just want those guys to do another game like that. The same maturity level, you know.
There's rumors that they want to do something like that, but I really just don't know where they could go with it.
Yeah.
I just think they should move forward. But, I mean, most of the same creative team is behind the next Uncharted game, which should come out near the end of this year. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And as far as anything else I've been playing, I'm still going through Shadow of Mordor when I can, and I love that game.
Mordor.
I would definitely recommend you pick that up if it ever comes down in price, which I'm sure it will this year. But that is such a fantastic action-adventure open-world game. And one of the games I'm looking forward to this year is Batman Arkham Knight. And it really has to do. It has to do as good of a job, if not better, than Shadow of Mordor. That's how high a bar Shadow of Mordor is set, as far as a game like that.
I'd like to play that. I want to kill some orcs.
Oh man, you are the worst nightmare for orcs in that game.
Steven, are you still playing the Assassin's Creed game?
I haven't played it in a few weeks, but I've been busy the past few weeks, too.
That's good. So, good action-y.
Yeah, when I decide I need to get murderous and kill some people.
Nice. Now, I found a Five Nights at Freddy's trailer. I thought I'd play it for you. I have no idea what this is going to be. Sometimes you blindly click on things on YouTube and you just hope for the best. So let's see how this goes. There's a robot. During the day, it's a place of joy. Chuck E. Cheese, that's basically. But you aren't here during the day. See, you can see the CCTV. You have the night watch. Ah! Did you see the robots look at you? See, there it is in the hall. That is pretty creepy. Five Nights at Freddy's. So that's basically the... Yeah, it's all visual. So, but then there's a, you know, the... Now, see, it's gotten even better. Now it's Five Nights at Freddy's 3, Steven. Graphics are getting better. I need some dialogue. This is killing me, this audio. He will come back. There's not going to be any dialogue in this thing, is there? Damn it! It's all visual. The robots. Why wouldn't they just close the pizza place? Yeah. Would you play this, Steven?
There was nothing there.
Nothing that's... Wow, thanks a lot, game. It wasn't jack shit. Maybe there's something with dialogue.
Hello, everybody. My name is Markiplier, and welcome to Five Nights at Freddy's. And
see, they have these videos where people play the game while you watch them. It's so funny. We could do videos like this where we just get the shit scared out of us, like huddled over the monitor and just, oh, shit! It's so funny. Oh, well, that'll be something we'll watch later.
Or watching me enjoy murder people.
Yeah. That's what Emma has started to ask me. She goes, I want my own YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. No, no, no. And I was like, as my job as a parent is to protect you. And the last way I can do that is to have you on the internet. I can't let that happen. I don't know how. I understand what she means, and it would be cool, but I don't know.
Gotta get a little older.
You guys right? Isn't that kind of a scary proposition? That.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a YouTube account, but I've never uploaded any videos. I'm not really sure I want to.
If you just look at the comment sections of any video, people are like.
Yeah, she's a little sensitive for being harassed online.
I wouldn't want anyone to ever say anything negative to my daughter, and so that's the last place to put her.
Now, of course, if you put something up, then you're fair game. That'd be fine.
Right.
Yeah, what you need to do, since I correct me if I'm wrong, but both the PS4 and the Xbox One is fitted for this, where you could... I've got a Twitch TV account. Have you ever watched any Twitch videos?
Yeah, totally.
I've managed to upload some gameplay of Shadow of Mordor a couple of weeks back, but I mean the videos don't stay that long because I think at some point they don't archive the videos for very long. But that's what I think maybe you should do with whatever you're playing on Xbox One, or you should like
it. Voice. You don't have to see your face or anything, right?
No, that's the camera is optional.
Mm-hmm.
But I played with a microphone so I could just talk and you know, act like an idiot
So. Emma, I would let her do something like that. Her voice is on there and talking or whatever.
Yeah. But so you'd have to probably do something like not allow comments on our videos. Yeah.
I would monitor them closely or something.
Well, you could turn the comment sections off that way.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's only the popular videos like that get a lot of views where people say horrible things.
Right.
Like I guarantee you, like I could put a video up on YouTube and no one's going to watch it or comment on it because it's not viral, or it's when shit gets viewed by like thousands of people, then people come out and saying things, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that, but it's just kind of like, you have to be cautious when you have a child and stuff like that. All right. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about? Adam, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's going on?
Yeah, I do appreciate the feedback that you sent my way regarding the recent podcast episode that I posted. And I'm hoping to schedule a recording with Adam Howard, a.k.a. Adam from the Bay Area.
Awesome.
I may not be able to do it this weekend, but maybe I can get with him next weekend. And if none of those things work out, I'll put out another solo episode. I've got a couple of ideas I've been working with.
I'm so hammered.
What?
Adam, he's...
I'm so hammered.
He's so hammered. Gotta love Adam.
Light it and try to smoke it.
Oh my God, Adam. Can I bring up one specific moment in your podcast that I thought was so funny?
Go ahead. I got an idea of what it is, but go right ahead.
There's actually two things that I laughed a lot at. One of them was the story of you coming home from the teacher's night at school, and your mom was mm-hmm. upset because you had been bad at school and talking back to the teacher. And mm-hmm. you walk in, and your dad's watching Aliens, and it's right when Bishop gets skewered by the alien and ripped in half. And this is the way I picture it in my head. Like, you're screaming like, because it's freaking you out, and you're upset, and you're crying.
Yeah.
And
yep.
at the same time, your mom's like, do you know what I heard from the teacher? That Adam, he was talking back, and you're crying. So your dad's like, get over here. He grabs you and just starts well-eyed spanking you while you're yeah. already upset about and crying over what you see on TV. So it's like a yeah. double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that story. I thought it was awesome.
And he's tormented by this.
The other thing that was the funniest thing I've ever heard, and I never thought of it like this, but when you saw the poster to Die Hard, and it said 40 stories of sheer terror, and you were like, huh, anthology.
Yeah.
I think it was 40.
40 stories?
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
It didn't dawn on me. Hey, here's a picture of the Nakatomi building, and there's an explosion at the top of it. Stories, building. Why couldn't I put that one together?
40 different stories all in this building about
yeah,
different
and
people.
That, and they used the film's poster art on the VHS box, which, by the way, doesn't it suck that that doesn't happen with DVDs and Blu-rays anymore? They never use the poster art.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that tagline kind of threw me, even though I could look at the back of the box and read the description and no, this is far away from an anthology as it could possibly be, but
it's like Tales from the Crypt or something.
Yeah.
Well, they keep getting there. They might have 40 Die Hard movies.
Yeah, but I absolutely love that story. It cracked me up.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah, and you would think that that alien thing that would have ruined me as far as that series goes, but no, it made me more interested in it, and now they're some of my favorite films.
It made me picture like in A Christmas Story when Ralphie tells his mom where he heard the F word, and it was his friend Schwartz.
Yeah.
And you hear the mom calls the other mom, and she goes, do you know what my son Ralphie told me? And the mom goes, what? And you hear, tuff, 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 psh, 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 mom, why you hitting me? Mom, why? That's what it pictured me, like, just wailing on you. Oh, what'd I do? Oh, God. It's so funny. I remember my dad, like, sometimes he would be like, I remember one time I got caught skipping school, and my dad was like, I'm at work constructing a paddle, and when I get home, I'm using it on you. And I was like, oh, Like, I'm so scared. And I'll never forget, he did make a paddle. He made a paddle at work. It was like a piece of plywood with, like, a handle, like, I don't know if it was stapled onto it. But after the first whack, I'll never forget this. He joined a bend over, and he had this paddle that he made. Like holy shit, he made a weapon to be with. The first hit, it shattered into pieces. And I'm not kidding. My terror turned into... I thought it was the most hilarious thing. It was so funny. It was like he was just disarmed. Like, my ass is so hard. It destroyed your weapon. And he was like, you're grounded. And I didn't get anywhere pops. He was like defeated by his paddle. He destroyed his friggin' plywood paddle. But it's like, that's how I don't know what his way of thinking is, but it's like, I've got to punish him in a way where he'll be like, I will never do this again. So I'm going to build a paddle and beat him with it where he'll be too afraid to ever skip school again. But instead it ended in laughter. And, of course I skipped school again after that.
Wow. Wasn't the last time either.
Any corporal punishment on your end, Steven?
Mom grabbed whatever she could grab to hit me with.
Whatever was it nailed down?
Yeah, I mean, generally it would be the old standby fly swatter, the wire whiz and the plastic. I got whapped with that thing many times until the plastic fly swatter end fell off.
Wow! Yeah,
I got shoes thrown at me.
Would you try to say stoic and not affected, or would you just start
once
crying?
I got older, she swung at me with the fly swatter, and I grabbed it and tossed it, and then I ran.
His childhood sounds like a Three Stooges moment.
I ran, and I cut through all my neighborhood, and at the top of where I lived was the football stadium. And so I snuck up to the top of the little the bleachers, and I sat there and I watched her drive around the neighborhood looking for me.
I love that.
I sat there, I don't know how long,
she's like, almost gone. She's gone.
I was like, I'm not moving here, you know. And yeah, I got home. Where did you go? I'm not telling you.
It's been two hiding spots.
But I could see her driving through the neighborhood looking for me.
That is so funny. I'll never forget one morning, Laura's job was usually to get me up. Come on, get up. And she would turn on my light sometimes, and it annoyed the shit out of me because, you know, I would try to wait as long as possible to get up and then, of course, not have very much time to get ready. But one morning that light went off and I go, turn off the light. Turn it off, asshole. And I'm like, there's someone here in the room. And I turn and look and my dad's like the foot of the bed. And it's like, bum, bum.
Asshole.
And he goes, what did you call me? And I go, I thought you were Laura. I thought you were Laura. And all of a sudden, smack on my shoulder. And he goes, get up. And I'll never forget this. Later on that night, I was going to go take a shower, and I stopped in the mirror, and I looked, and I had his handprint on my shoulder still. That's how friggin' hard he slapped me. I was like, holy shit, I'm glad he didn't hit me in the face. But I also think about that. I've asked my dad about that. I go, I could never even dream of smacking my daughter. Like... Yeah. Smacking her on the arm where my handprint stays or anything. What was it about you where you could just wail on your kids and didn't think anything of it? He goes, it was a different time. And I go, why was it a different time? Why wasn't it in your head that maybe I shouldn't beat on my kids? He's like, it was just a different time. It was okay. Like when I was raised, I got smacked around too. It's like, I don't understand why it's not in your programming. Like I would never even...
You didn't like it. Why do you think your child's going to like it?
Yeah. Remember, there was a whole, this hurts me more than it hits you. Bam! It's like, no, it doesn't. That freaking hurt, man. But it's like, I've never wanted to hit Emma or anything. I don't know. Maybe if I had a son who needed some Ritalin or something, I might go, that's it. Smack or something. But I doubt it. I just think it's weird that so many parents were like, yeah, I just need to slap the shit out of that kid. Isn't that funny? I don't know what it is.
Well, I've
seen, yeah, I mean, they don't even peddle kids in school anymore, do they?
No, yeah. And I was telling Emma that too. Like, that's, I tell these stories. When I was a kid, you got pops in front of all the other kids.
Yeah, or they took you into, like, the supply closet at the back of the classroom, like, which is what happened to me. And, yeah, I made a scene of it as well.
It's like, I want witnesses.
we get pulled into the vice principal's office and got the SWAT there.
Did he? I remember, I don't remember what grade it is. Maybe it was middle school, but I remember the vice principal had his paddle behind his desk on the wall. Like, you would look at it while you're in there, like, oh, shit.
I got mine for being tardy. I'd come back after lunch, you know, and not want to go to class, or I stayed too long watching Hogan's Heroes at home at lunchtime.
I'll never forget in the eighth grade in metal shop, me and this other guy were screwing around and I grabbed an awl, like the ice pick thing. Yeah. And I was like holding it like we're weapon. Just playing around, like, come on. And I go, whoa, hey, come here. And I was like, oh shit. And I never got in trouble. And they're like, come here, boy, give me that, put that away. What do you think you're doing? You're going to stab him? And I was like, no, we're just playing. This isn't a place to be playing. You're just yelling at me like a drill sergeant. Everyone's looking like frozen. You know, I'm just like turning beet red. And he goes, come here, give me that. I'll take this boy to the office. I want him to get 5 pops. And my eyes go wide like, 5 pops? No, what'd I do? I've never done anything. I'm like, no, I'm innocent. I did one stupid thing. And I go to the vice principal, and he sits down and he goes, so, threatening a boy with an awl? And he goes, no, he's my friend. We were playing. We were just playing around. He goes, the metal shop is not a place to be playing. No, I know that. I know that. Please, I freaking know that. I don't know. I had a moment of weakness. I was being stupid. And he goes, you know, the whole road, what is that saying about the road to something is paved with good intentions? Yeah. He told me all sorts of stories about accidents that had happened. Like, I remember a boy went to dunk a basketball, playing around. He had a ring on his finger, pulled his finger right off. I was like, okay, how's this pertain to my situation? But the whole story was about how screwing around, horseplay, grab-assing can lead to severed limbs. And I remember finally I was like, I'll never do anything like that. I started like tearing up. And he goes, well, I see here that you've never been in any trouble. I was like, that's right. I've never been in any trouble before. And he let me go without any pops. I was good to go. Basically, what they did is essentially scared the living shit out of me. And I remember going back to that teacher. I'll never forget. He was Mr. White, and his name was Dwight White. And he read it. He was like, you didn't get any pops? I was like, no, sir. He's like, oh, I would have given you pops. And I was like, yeah, I know, 5 of them. But I remember when I went back, and this dude goes, dude, man, you were so scared, man. I was like, shut up, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I got the, for my late tardies or whatever, it'd be like, all right, 30 minutes detention or pop. Give me that pop. I'm out. Like,
damn. So. Whoever allowed that? Pops. Like, yeah, you can beat on my kid.
Well, they gave me the choice. You can stay for 30 minutes after school, which, I mean, I lived a block away, but I'm not wasting my time 30 minutes. So, I got the pop.
How often?
Oh, not often. Maybe once a month.
I don't think that I ever...
Maybe.
I don't think I ever did. That was the closest I ever came to it.
When you get repeated tardies in the same class, and you might get 2 swats, you know.
What about you, Adam? Do you ever get wailed on in school?
Yeah, like second. I mean, I remember getting paddled in kindergarten, second grade, definitely, because that was the source of it. But I think the last time it ever happened was in fourth, and there was never. Yeah, a couple of times from the principal, but mostly from the teachers. Like, the fourth grade teacher was, you know, not above, like, administering the paddling.
herself. So, but those were the punishment heavy years.
Is it just because of lawsuits or something? They just can't do it anywhere. People are too litigious.
I guess, or maybe they're just a little more. What's the word I'm looking for?
The process.
They're a little bit more. Well, this may not be the best term, but a little bit more sensitive to how. Physical contact can. I mean, there is an argument to be made that physical contact like that could do damage, even if you're doing it with the right intentions.
Yeah, but, like, I would even think of, like, maybe this kid's acting out because he gets the shit beat out of him at home. He acts out at school, and then what am I doing? I'm beating the shit out of him too.
Like I'm beginning to wonder if some parents. Administer those kind of paddlings, but then they don't talk about it with their kids. They just paddle them and leave it completely at that. Like, my parents made absolutely sure that I knew why they were going to paddle me for it.
Right.
And, it worked that way. But I'm beginning to think that there's a generation of people who did not do that. People who just do not talk to their kids, especially if it's regarding, disciplinary stuff. And you got a bunch of kids who are just confused and scared and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure you'd never want to, do that to your daughter, but you would definitely talk to her if, something bad was going, or she was doing something wrong, or if you wanted her to understand something in particular. Like, I think that whole communication thing is.
Yeah, I've always been good at communicating. Like, if I could just get down on my knee and get eye level with her and go, this is the reason you need to do this, and explain it. But, like, I see so many times parents are so impatient. Like, grab them. Come here. What the hell did I just tell you? Don't get the stupid kid. It's like, oh, my God. But, no, patience. I've always wanted to have patience. Maybe it's because I didn't get any when I was a kid. There's so many times it was like they didn't care who started it. Whoever's in reaching distance is going to get smacked. I didn't do anything. Vanessa did it. She started it or something, yeah.
And then back in those days, you didn't have the TV in your room. You got sent to your room.
And there's nothing in here.
And if they caught you playing, like Hot Wheels or whatever, are you playing? No.
This isn't playtime. This is serious shit over here. You're in timeout. I remember the first time I saw a timeout. I didn't know what it was. It was in Heather's brother's stepdaughter, and they put her in timeout. I remember just going, why is she standing in the corner? And Heather was like, she's in a timeout. It's like, what the hell is a timeout? It's like, if you act up, you get put in the corner. I was like, oh, okay. I think sometimes I need a timeout.
They did that to us in elementary school, talking or whatever. We had to go stand with our nose in the corner. So it wasn't that you couldn't turn around and look. If you turn around and look, then you had to stay longer.
Yeah.
So it was, you're going to stand there for 5 minutes. So you had to stand there with literally your nose is touching the corner of the wall. It's like, okay. And everybody's giggling at you, so you feel stupid.
Yeah. Luckily, Emma's more like me where she's quiet and keeps to herself. That's the way I was. Unless it wood shop. Just don't ever grab the ice pick thing. I remember when we were in the frame shop, I would have that awl. I would hold it and think flashback, I will never threaten anyone with this like it's a weapon, even if I'm playing around, because I will get five pops. I'll
get called to the manager's office and get 5 pops.
Yeah. It did definitely scar me. I still think about it. What do you guys have?
Even though you didn't get any pops.
I know. It's still scared. They scared straight is what I was. Scared. That man wanted me to get 5 pops so bad. Like, he was like, I want him to hit 5 pops. Like, why 5? Maybe 1 or 2? But 5. 1! Oh, thank you, sir. May I have another? 2!
After 2, you don't feel it because
your butt's numb.
Yeah.
When you get home later, is your ass, like, purple? Or?
I think the most I've ever got was 3.
Were the paddles out of wood or, like, fiberglass?
Wood.
Wood.
Yeah, the first
with
one
notches
kinda start,
in it.
the first one stings. The second one kind of amplifies the sting, and after that, it's kind of about the same.
What kind of hurts? If anything hurts at that point, is just like the humiliation of it.
Well, nobody is around when I got the pops. I was just me.
Okay,
and the vice
principal. mine were public. So,
and it's then, like you know, on your way home, it
Adam,
starts...
could you come up here to the stage, please? It's like, oh, geez, in front of the whole school.
No, not that way. This is like contained in the classroom, but
in front of 30 kids.
Yeah. We're going to notify your parents, so I got to come home. We're going to send you a note that you have to have it signed and bring back. I'm like, oh, God.
What if they had Slap Friday or, like, Pops, the whole assembly, everybody in school, and then they call kids up to get smacked right in front of the whole
punishment
school?
Day.
Yeah. Ooh. Everyone be like, damn.
That would be hilarious.
Damn, that's harsh.
See who cries.
And could Sam
Johnson,
please come up here. You get 10 for this. Everyone's like, oh, it's
put
like
him in
one
the stockade.
Yeah, two. Everyone's like, oh, just like disturbing. One day, a parent's visiting. They're like, "What is this shit that's going on at the school?"
So old English. They roll out a scroll. You get 5 pops for skipping school.
Jason Wallstrom, you are spared. Oh God, thank God. Damn, how does he keep getting out of this? It's because he keeps crying like a pussy in front of the vice principal. I didn't mean to do it. This time, you grabbed a hacksaw.
I was just playing around. I wasn't really gonna saw his foot up.
I want that boy to get 20 pops this time.
He grabbed the chainsaw. He was reenacting the Evil Dead 2.
Workshed. This boy, I want one of his limbs broken.
Yeah.
It was just a quick 3 pops and on my way. And on your way, as you're walking down, it starts getting warm when all the blood starts coming back. Your ass is on fire.
The good old days of school, huh? When you lived in fear. Good times.
If I knew now, I'd
We can't
it.
End on corporal punishment, can we?
Really? Because I thought that was exactly what was going to happen.
I was trying to think of other stories, but really, I just didn't get into trouble. I never got pops. Well, except for my dad breaking it on my ass.
The one time when you had super ass.
But can you just imagine that, talking to your dad on the phone? I'm constructing a paddle right now, and I'm bringing it home. It's like, what? And I'm going to use it on you.
Oh, my God, no! I'm sorry!
No, your ass is grass.
You're going to be sorry.
Yeah, you're not sorry yet, kid. I got, Jason, what are you doing? I'm packing my things. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Where are you going to go? I'm living on the street. And I just keep going the scenario. Huh? But that's the moral of the story. Don't beat your kids, okay? Just give them a timeout. No video games for 5 minutes.
Take
your cell phone away for a day.
I hope you learned a lesson. Give me my tablet back. You know, for a Christmas, I got 3 Fandango gift cards, and I've been waiting for a friggin' movie to come out to go see.
Well, 2 weeks, Jupiter Ascending comes out.
That's right.
Next Wachowski joint, and... I was reading Drew McWinney's Twitter account. Apparently, he's seen it, and he's had some interviews that he's recorded with, I think, the Wachowskis and other people involved. And I think he said this is going to be one of the most divisive movies of the year.
Like, and some people will love it, some people will hate it kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. It's not like the Wachowski brothers ever made a movie that polarized people before. But
yeah, I remember Speed Racer, like, oh, man, what a piece of shit. And it's like, dude, I thought it was awesome. What the hell?
Yeah, they played it at Sundance.
Yeah, I heard that.
It was like a secret screening at Sundance, I think.
And some people thought it was really weird that it was at Sundance.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think
played
that's
to
cool.
the wrong crowd.
I mean, the it looks amazing from the commercials.
Yeah, it will probably be really goofy, but you know, I drink their Kool-Aid just about every time, so I'm in a mood for a goofy ride from them.
Did you enjoy Cloud Atlas?
Oh, that was my favorite movie of the year when it came out.
I still haven't seen that.
I haven't on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh man, it's so good.
I can't wait till I think
I'm
it's called
to get into a mood to watch it for some reason.
Sense8, I think it's called. The Wachowskis and J. Michael Straczynski have a original Netflix series coming. And I haven't heard about it recently, but I believe it's coming out this year, I hope. Have you read about that?
I have not.
Yeah, it's the Wachowskis and J. Michael Straczynski, the Babylon 5 guy. It's got to be awesome. Like, it's a sci-fi type of thing.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing. I haven't heard anything about it yet. Let me just look real quick. Any kind of Sense8 stuff. You would think when this comes out, people might ask people about it. I'll just look up the Wachowskis. That's what I'll do. Here it is. A group of people around the world are suddenly linked mentally and must find a way to survive being hunted by those who see them as a threat to the world's order. Creators J. Michael Straczynski, Andy, and Lana Wachowski. And yeah, it's a bunch of... The only person I recognize... Oh, Naveen Andrews from Lost. Daryl Hannah. And a bunch of other people, I don't know who they are. But it says 2015, so it's coming out sometime this year. It's just a cool teaming of those guys. I never watched Babylon 5 myself, but I know J. Michael Straczynski.
I watched it.
Reading a script, how to write screenplays book by J. Michael Straczynski a long, long effing time ago. In the 80s.
I was like, I watched it looking for Billy Mumy.
Billy Mumy?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, guys. You guys think that's enough, man? Is it? We got nothing else, man.
What else to talk about?
I'm plum talked out, man.
And we didn't have to end it on corporal punishment, man.
Yeah. Those are good stories, though, man.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying man?
I don't know, man. You started, man.
Oh, and Adam, I just want to prepare you. If you're going to watch the Super Bowl, which I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, love the commercials, there'll be a new Terminator Genesis trailer. Awesome. That part where
maybe
he flies.
This will be the one.
I don't care what they do. That scene where he flies into the helicopter just does not look good, does it?
No, it does not.
I'll be back after I fly into this helicopter. It's like,
oh,
yikes.
He does the header into it? Yeah.
Wow.
Then you won't be back.
All right, let me...
They're going to show us that little, what is it, like the bus that flips over like 5 or 6 times on the bridge?
Yeah. All it goes...
On the Golden Gate.
Yeah, that reminded me of like Dark Knight, you know, when with the Joker, the... It's like, holy shit, look how that's flipping over. Wow! You know, we're supposed to... I love when things like... There's lots, bombastic sound effects, everything, but then something gets flipped, everything goes silent. It's just like...
Yeah. That happened in Rise of the Machines as well.
Yeah, you're right. Remember with the nanobot-controlled cars and stuff?
Yeah.
Awesome! Well, that's what I want to do. When it gets quiet as it's going... I just want a real nerdy voice to go, awesome! Just like really loud. Everyone would start laughing or something. Or they go, shut up! Awesome! Rat-a-ponticle! All right, guys, that's our show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. All of our talk about Five Nights at Freddy's and getting pops in school and all the other stuff. Thank you guys for sharing. I will never be the same. But we'll see you guys next time. Bye, Adam. Bye, Steven.
Bye.
Laters. Bye. Later days, man.
Take you later.
podcasting.